Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., your loyal host, bringing you another episode of Spiritual Perspectives. We have a song entitled Deliver Us, helping us prepare the way for today's discussion of pivotal points as we take a look at deliverance. The Israelites, on their way to freedom, having left the nation of Egypt, and we were looking at how they were just about there. All they had to do was cross the Red Sea, and they'd be just about home free. However, there was one little bitty problem. They were there at the Red Sea, and their enemies were right behind them, hot in pursuit. Oh, yeah, sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, people decide that they're going to continue their persecution. That's what persecution is. It's pursuit, and usually for the purpose of destroying the one who's being pursued, whether one or many. Yes, indeed. And sometimes when people don't end their pursuit soon enough, they pursue to their own demise, to their own destruction. And as it turns out, that's exactly what's happening. That's exactly what happened with the Egyptians, the mighty Pharaoh, with his mighty army. They had destroyed so many nations before. Yes, indeed, destroyed them. And now they wanted to go back, get the Israelites, and take them back to Egypt so they could have that free labor. What have we done? Was the question they asked. What have we done? Well, as it turns out, the big question to answer when it comes to what have we done, it wasn't so much what have we done by letting the Israelites go. The huger question would be, what have we done by not leaving them alone? So here we are back in Exodus chapter 14, taking a look at, you could call it the Great Escape. You can certainly call it the Great Rescue, because that's exactly what it comes down to. This is a mighty, mighty picture of the Almighty God truly rescuing his people. Exodus chapter 14, then the Lord said to Moses, remember now, I just shared with you, they had encamped. Remember I was sharing with you a while back that even when we are going through our wilderness, the Lord God is with us, directing us, guiding us, and truly is with us. So listen to what's happening here. Exodus chapter 14, beginning again at verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. Now notice now, the Lord God told his leader, his friend, his anointed prophet, to tell the people exactly where they were to go, knowing that when they got there, they were going to eventually be hemmed in. Tell them to turn back and encamp between Migdol and the sea, They are to encamp by the sea, directly opposite Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are running around in the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. You know, sometimes when we think about God being glorified, gaining glory, we think about how he gains that glory when he heals someone from cancer. We think about how he gains glory when he heals someone of a broken arm. We think about how God gains glory when he turns around someone's financial situation. And you know what? All of those are certainly reasons for God to be glorified. We think about how God gains glory when he raises the dead, as when he raised Lazarus from the dead. And those are all reasons to glorify God, no doubt. He deserves glory for that. But you know what? God also gains glory when he defeats the enemy of his people. Even when it means he destroys the enemies of his people. I, the Lord God says in verse 4, will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. Sometimes people are so caught up in pride, they've been able to get away with wrong for so long that they think that there's nothing God can do to handle them. They think that everything's going to be okay with them, no matter what. We have a nation of people. It can be a community of people. It can be a race of people. And very often nowadays, you have a mixture of races coming together to try to do harm to God's faithful people, his faithful children. And they convince themselves and they convince each other that everything's going to be all right. They convince themselves and they convince each other that they will never have to pay a price for the wrong that they do to God and to his people. You know, it's interesting to watch people, to pay attention to people who will do things disrespectful to God's people because they want it to be clear to God's people that they have no respect, no real respect for their God. And so they show disrespect to God by showing disrespect to his people. And they think that they'll always get away with it. They'll boast about what they did to be disrespectful to God's people, to God himself, by being disrespectful to his people, to his children, to the ones who they know are carrying his spirit inside them. So foolish to think that they will always get away with that madness. God is saying here, I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army. How? We're going to read about that. Yes, indeed. So the Israelites did this. They did exactly what God told them to do. They went and camped exactly where he told them to camp. Verse 5, when the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds. It wasn't just Pharaoh who was thinking from a very, very illogical perspective. His officials were thinking the same way. Very illogical. They had just had their land devastated, and they had just lost the firstborn male. Every household in the land had just lost the firstborn male, whether animal or human, just lost the firstborn male. They knew they'd lost the firstborn male because of their refusal to let God's people go. They knew that there was a cause and effect. They knew that because they refused to let God's people go, God took their sons, their firstborn sons, humans and animals. Didn't happen to the Israelites, and the Egyptians knew that. They knew that the Israelites had not lost their firstborn males. And yet, the Pharaoh and his officials decided, you know what? We still haven't suffered enough. Let's go get them and bring them back. What have we done? They asked. We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services. And as I said last week, they had just lost their firstborn males. What else were they willing to lose in order to hold on to the Israelites and keep them oppressed? So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots, along with all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites, who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pihahiroth, opposite Baal Zephon. I want to just point out again that we don't need to begin to panic just because we are on our way into our freedom, just because we're on our way into our place of promise, just because we're on our way into our status of promise, into our place of plenty, our place of wealth, leaving the desert where it is so dry to a place of moistness. We don't have to panic just because we know that we're moving in that direction and our enemies who hate God and also hate us are pursuing again with a mighty army. There's no need for us to panic. When we come back, we're going to take a look at what's happening with this army. Remember now, I just read it to you again. The Israelites had marched out boldly. No need to march out boldly and then panic. Let's see how God handles this. Because remember now, we're never alone. We are never alone. God is with us.